We are, we're recording. We're on. Testing.
Yeah, I think it's good.
Testing.
Don't scare them.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to this week's episode of Father Knows Something. Tonight, we have the Morgan and we have Holly.
I don't know if you can see her. She's kind of cuddled up over here.
She's up there. She is.
She's cuddled.
She's popped up. And we are just had a busy week, and we're looking forward to the next couple of weeks. We have all the shows coming up.
So many shows coming up. It's going to be good.
And Dad went on sock patrol today. He bought socks for the different cities we're going to. Mm-hmm. He's excited.
Yes.
I can tell because he was busy buying socks today.
Yeah, you're using a lot of third person.
Yeah, yeah. Well, what can I say? Because he's not as exhausted as I am. He's
just... You're loopy.
I am loopy. But we had a great day. And yeah. I think Morgan probably has a theme for us.
I do. Today's theme is like tough choices.
Okay.
I know, I think we've done before like rock and a hard place or something like that. Mm-hmm. And it's coming up a lot, you know, right now. Just everyone's kind of conflicted about their next steps or how to deal with people. So tough choices today.
I was listening, you know, sometimes people give thoughts and advice and they never listen to their own stuff. And I really, made some decisions in my own life in the past 6 weeks. And what are you doing over there? Oh, maybe she's trying to make a tough choice. Anyway, so...
Maybe she's trying to pee on my rug.
So I've taken... No, she doesn't have to do that. I've taken some direction in my life. And so...
yeah.
It's not always easy when we make these tough choices and we go forward in our life and... So I'm replaying everything that you guys say to me in my own head, and I'm saying, maybe that's why I'm in the third person. I'm taking my own advice.
There you go.
And there she goes. Where are you going? Oh, she's going to lie down underneath us.
She's something else.
She just can't figure it out.
She's really struggling, but... We are not going to struggle today. We got this. You guys got this. You're going to comment as well and tell these writers some amazing insight and advice. Maybe you've been through it, maybe you haven't, but let's get into this.
Okay. And also, as you don't see Justin's on the road.
He's in Nashville. I'm headed there tomorrow to meet him.
So this is all great.
It's going to be good.
Okay. I'm all relaxed. I'm here. I got my little ice right here.
Okay, let's do it.
And go for it.
What story number is this?
This is the first story. It's number one.
Okay, good. Should I meet my biological father?
Yes. No. I don't know. Let's hear more.
Be patient. Okay. My mom had a one-night stand when she was 19, which resulted in me. When she found out she was pregnant, because she didn't know him well, she was able to track him down through a mutual friend so she could tell him that she was pregnant. His response was that he wanted her to get an abortion and to never contact him again because he had a long-term girlfriend and cheated on her with my mom. Fast forward to him eventually marrying his girlfriend and having two kids with her. Now I'm 25. I'm happy. I have a great dad and two half-brothers, and I'm overall satisfied with my life. But I'm often left with, what if? And I worry that I would regret not trying to meet my biological father before he someday passes, or not meeting my other half-siblings. Ideal outcome, we eventually meet, it goes well, just to get to know each other, and maybe eventually I can build a relationship with my half-siblings. Other info, my stepdad offered to reach out for me and let me know that if I wanted to meet my dad, that it wouldn't hurt him, that he understands. I don't know if his wife and kids know that I even exist, and I don't want to ruin his life. In general, I don't know how to approach this.
There's a lot of dynamic going on here. And, you know, all I can do for you is what you've done is go through the different values of this thing. It's going to definitely, if he was divorced, it would be an easier answer because it doesn't affect that marriage. And, you know, he certainly hasn't come looking for you. And for you to want to have to go look for him, that is definitely a choice that you have that power to do. And I can't tell you not to do it if it's important to you. But I would probably do it in a way that it doesn't involve anybody else but him and let him deal with that motion of what happens next. I mean, you do have half siblings, but they have no idea that you exist. They may love to meet you. They may, you know, figure you out by 23andMe and see that it's out there, that they have something going on.
That would be my first step.
And going into their space is really dangerous waters. And I think that, you know, the 23andMe, you put yourself out in the
universe,
the informational universe, where they can obtain it if they want to look for it. And I think that's probably the best way. I mean, you're functioning fine. You have a great, you know, life the way you have it. And they may or may not complete something different within you, but I think that you have to let them find you rather than you find them. You know that, you know they exist. They don't know you exist.
Yeah. If this were me, because I understand the what if, just wanting to know. I think everyone's just kind of naturally curious about things. So if this were me, I would buy Ancestry and 23andMe because they're two separate databases, and do the kits and see if you get a ping. I just saw a video of a girl on TikTok that literally got a message on one of the apps, you know, 23andMe or whatever. And it was literally like a, hey girl, I think we're siblings. I don't know if it's your mom or your dad, but were you born like blah, 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 blah. Turns out they're living in the same town currently. And so I think that's like an easy way to do it. And if you don't get any pings, then you can decide, I'm going to write him a letter and just, you know, see if he wants to meet one day.
Mm-hmm.
Because maybe he doesn't know that your mom didn't go through with an abortion. Like, maybe he thinks that he doesn't have another kid out there. Who knows? So
it sounded like he didn't want to know.
I think a lot of people, especially when they cheat, though, don't ever want to get caught. And a baby from an affair
that's getting caught.
Very clearly him getting caught. So, of course, he's going to take the easy way out because he doesn't want to have to ever tell his girlfriend, oh, I cheated on you. So it's easier to tell this girl you don't care about.
His wife now.
Well, now wife, but at the time, girlfriend. And so it's easier to say, you go get an abortion. It's terrible behavior.
Mm-hmm.
You know, deal with the consequences of your actions, dude. But obviously he didn't want to destroy his relationship with his girlfriend. So I think, you know, maybe now having grown up a little bit more, maybe he can realize, yeah, that was a mistake. I shouldn't have said that to your mom. You know, I'd love to grab coffee with you. So maybe he's evolved, and now having other kids, you know, he can recognize like, wow, you're my kid too, or you know what I mean? So I would first do DNA kits, and then if you don't get any pings, then maybe write him a letter or reach out however you can.
How long does it take to get a ping? Immediately, or does the pings?
Justin's kit came back in about 2.5-3 weeks.
Really?
They're quick.
And then you get pings?
You get full Ancestry familial connections.
And they actually go out to them and they send them pings?
Yeah. So like I'll get emails regularly from 23andMe that like we've found new relatives.
Really?
Mm-hmm. So, and you can look, and then like you can also like on the app, if you're like, oh my God, I did my DNA kit, I have a sister, you could also message them because they're going to see you eventually anyways. So then I feel like it would be appropriate to reach out to your half siblings.
Mm-hmm.
But you have steps, you have options. But I think if you're curious and it's going to bring you some peace, do it. But also recognize you could get a very negative reaction. And just be prepared for that and protect yourself and your heart, because you don't want to have your heart hurt at the end of the day.
I mean, it's not that he's rejecting you. He doesn't really know you.
No, it would have nothing to do with you and everything to do with him being a coward, a a cheater, irresponsible.
And having to answer.
And having to
face the music.
Exactly. It would not have anything to do with you. No. Okay.
Okay.
Moving along.
Number two.
Hello, FKS family. My husband is in the process of adopting my son, 5. We have a lawyer. We've drawn the paperwork. My son has his own guardian ad litem, and we have already had a meeting with that lawyer. We are fully in the process. At first, I felt guilt for this being our decision. Nothing against my husband, because his love for my son is unmatched. My ex was in my son's life for the first 3 years, unwavering. We split custody 50-50. However, I still solely was responsible for medical bills, visits, insurance costs, etc. We were co-parenting fairly well, but there were some scenarios we would butt heads, obviously. Then my ex went to jail, and since coming out, is only allowed supervised visitations per the state. He's allowed to make phone calls. He's allowed as many visits as permitted. I had zero issues with scheduling visits. However, I would not be making sole effort for this to be arranged. Not once have I been asked in 2 years if he could see his son. His mom has reached out to him and has planned things through them for his son, but again, it was never initiated by him, other than one Father's Day. My son would ask to call his dad, and it was hit or miss if he would get an answer. But again, it was not my son's job to make this effort. I begged, pleaded, and yelled for him to put forth more effort because my son is old enough to notice the effort wasn't there anymore. So I told him I no longer thought it would be beneficial to have any contact at all. I had a barely there dad, and that was more painful than an absent one. Realistically, since he's so young, he doesn't know the situation or scenario. Every time he asks if he can see his dad, I tell him he's working. I never speak badly about him, which honestly gets very exhausting. My son hasn't had much of a relationship with him for at least 1.5 years, but he still talks about him like he's in his life every day. My dad this, my dad that, and I'm always telling him things if he asks specific questions about him. 1 year ago, I brought up the idea of child support, just paying for insurance for him, $120 a month. He seemed to agree, but then months went by with no help. In this time, he bought 2 vehicles and a new phone. He had a whole new phone number and didn't tell me for months until he found out through the grapevine our son was sick with the flu. My husband asked if I would be comfortable with him adopting my son. At first, I said let's talk to a lawyer about child support. It wasn't about getting any extra income for myself. I just truly felt I was taking on the brunt of his well-being myself and was exhausted trying to keep up. New clothes, new shoes, daycare, insurance. My husband was stepping in to help as much as I would let him, until I finally looked at the calendar to see how long it had been since my ex saw his son. In person, face to face, it had been 5 months. I asked if child support was something my ex was willing to do, and he's told me he would rather go back to jail than pay me child support. We started the adoption process shortly after. My son's only heard positive and beautiful things about his father. He wanted to go to the same school he went to. He wants things that are his favorite color. He wants to play games his father likes. He idolizes him. He does not want to be adopted. He said this on more than one occasion. He loves my husband. When he's not at school, he's going to work with him because he wants to. They're outside playing football together constantly. They're playing video games together. My husband's showing him at-home science experiments he thinks he will like. And my son's having a blast during all of these things. He asks my husband how his day at work was. He tells him how his day at school is. They have a relationship I did not have to initiate. They've always been so close. In the town we live in, having his last name would open opportunities for him. He's 5. Realistically, he does not know the brunt of the situation. So, do I hold off until he is old enough to make that decision? Or do we continue forward with the adoption?
I bet you already know my answer on this one.
I don't know. You tell us.
Really?
Go ahead.
Okay. I'm going to do that. I will let you know that, you know, Morgan, most everyone knows that Morgan and I are father-daughter by choice, not because of conception. So when Morgan was born, her mom asked me, when we made the decision that we were going to go through with the pregnancy, and this is, you know, and I'm totally cool, and I don't know what, then we kind of didn't know where we were going to go in our relationship. But the bottom line was, is what we're going to do about Morgan. And I said, everyone, I always believe in the truth. And if I'll raise Morgan as my daughter, I love her. She's mine. That doesn't mean I have to give her my name by force. When she is able to make that choice and able to sign the paper, my name is always available to her. She's my daughter. And it doesn't matter to me by last name one way or the other, because we all know it. We've seen it here for 2-3 years. I'm dad. Mm-hmm. End of story. Does she know her father? Yeah, she knows her biological dad. And if whatever relationship they have, that's fully on their interaction. Has no negativity from their mother and has no negativity certainly from me. The bottom line is you got to let the relationship with them come to terms on its own. The fact that your husband is absolutely there day and night and he's being a dad, that your son's going to figure that out on his own. And there's some tossing going on because there was this fella. I mean, I came into Morgan's life the day she was born. Her brother that was 5 had a lot of issues with me coming into his life. And, you know, there was a lot of
resentment,
repelling until he was probably 20. It was tough. And I always just said, you know, I am here for you as your, I'm not trying to be your dad, but I'm here for you in any capacity that you want. I am here. And that's really what has to go on, in my opinion. I don't think you force the adoption. I think that you just give him love and let your husband bond with him and they have the life. And if your son ever says, I want him to be my, I want his last name, then the papers are there for him. He can sign them. But I would try to let him make that choice and that decision so he knows it's available to him. And you're not forcing it, but there they are. When you're ready for it, you just sign your name to it and it will be so.
Yeah. This is really, really tough because there is a little bit more info.
Okay.
Ideal outcome, maybe a clear mind moving forward. The paperwork has been filed. My ex has been served. So I'm not sure if moving backwards is an option. And then additional, my ex's jail time and charge has to do with a crime against a child. While I'm not 100% sure it happened, he was found guilty with zero evidence for or against him. Also, his parents are supportive of this decision and like the person my husband is. So that being said, there's no going back, it sounds like, at this point. Like, it kind of...
Then you have to ride the roller coaster. You just take it.
Yeah, because it's tough. Because if I tried to predict the future, I think your son is going to have some resentment towards you for making this choice for him. And I really hope that's not the case. But he is 5. Like, he kind, like, 5, you don't know what's going on, but like, you kind of do. You know what I mean? Like,
well, he knows his dad. He certainly remembers this. It's got this image. And the fact that he might be, we don't know if his father's a pedophile. We don't know.
We have no idea.
We have no idea he's an abuser, but we certainly know that he went to jail for something that they have to have supervised visitation.
Yeah. But I think it's more so like, in this writing, I hear your resentment almost that your son still idolizes his dad. And it is frustrating, right? Like, mm-hmm. His dad is a piece of shit. And you're the one stuck carrying everything. You're shouldering everything. And yet he still looks up to his dad. He wants to, you know, be like his dad. That will change eventually. He will realize on his own who his dad is. And it'll click, mm-hmm. And it'll be really painful. But I still think until that happens, if he finds out that you just kind of took that choice of adoption away from him, he is going to be upset and he could resent you. Because in his little, you know, mind, it could be, well, that was the last of my dad I had, keeping us connected. Now my dad's going to be mad at me.
I have a question for you.
Yeah.
So what happens if, look, she says, I can't go backwards. So she, the little boy gets the mom's last name that is now the husband's last name, and they have one last name. But she's not saying you're cut off from seeing your dad.
It doesn't sound like that, but, you know, to a little kid who's getting their name changed at five when they just maybe learned it in kindergarten and he knows, oh, that's my dad's name. Like, you just don't know how this is going to go. It is a tough spot to be in. I think in an ideal world, I would have gone back to court, gotten sole custody and not dealt with him, but let your kid, you know, your child make that decision on their own. Because I think it is, there's something really beautiful too and special when a kid goes to their stepdad and, you know, says, will you adopt me or, you know, things like that. So, but if it's already done, then it is what it is. And you just kind of got to deal with everything moving forward and making sure he's supported. I think if he's not in it already, I would try to get some therapy for him. You know, I don't think it would hurt trying to deal with, you know, not seeing his dad as much and, you know, being more well-adjusted. So just something to consider.
I'm sure they have psychologists that specialize with children.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
These are tough ones.
I told you.
These are tough ones.
Yeah. So if you guys have been through this or, you know, if you're dealing with custody issues with an ex and your new partner adopting your kid, please write in. I think this would be a really, really helpful one for us to get your advice on too.
I mean, it's interesting, and I'm just going to kind of reflect on you because you took your mom's last name and you didn't, you know, and you actually did also take your biological father's last name as well.
That was not my choice and I never would have put it on there. And okay. I wish it wouldn't have been on there. I wish I had my mom's last name. And I think if there's any, you know, people out there listening, if you're, you know, having this kid on your own or your partner's not the greatest, please give your child your last name.
Okay. There you are. But
yeah.
But you didn't suffer by not having my last name, and you never felt unloved by me as being your dad.
No, a name isn't the biggest deal. It's been a pain in my ass having it on there. My name barely fits in the boxes when you fill out forms. I have five names right now on my ID.
Anyways,
a lot. That was a sidebar.
Let us know what actually is the outcome as time goes on.
Yes, we have an update form. It is linked in the description of the episodes. So if you're hearing this and you already have an update for us, please go to that form and submit your update. And that goes for any other stories that we've read. Please update us. And if you're wondering how the heck do I even write in, also in the description on Spotify, Apple, wherever you're listening, and YouTube, there's a link.
There's a link in the descriptions.
Okay, moving along.
Okay, let's go.
One of this week's partners is MeUndies.
As a guy, there's not a lot of add-ons that we get to work with. A pec push-up bra? What would the boss say? Meggings that accentuate this caboose?
Justin, there's kids out there. But MeUndies is unveiling something that you won't see, and it's the latest gift to help men feel big. The contoured pouch and ball caddy. This micromodal slings keeps things separated and lifted. Because you don't want those things dangling all over the place, do you?
No, support is good.
Support is key. And this isn't all MeUndies has. My favorite part about this brand is that you can get underwear that match your partner, that match your friends, whatever you want to do. Justin and I actually got this little gummy bear pattern, and the fit is so good.
And they come in sizes extra small to 4XL, guaranteeing a flattering cut for every body.
If you're not happy with your first pair of undies, it's on MeUndies. So try it risk-free, essentially. Good things come in big packages at MeUndies. Get 20% off your first order plus free shipping at MeUndies.com/father. That's MeUndies.com/father for 20% off plus free shipping.
MeUndies, comfort from the outside in.
Oh, number three.
What number?
Three.
You gotta hold it up.
Three.
Good job. Hi, Jerry, Morgan, Justin, Holly! Hi! I'm a big time fan of both FKS and THT. You guys make my life a whole lot less lonely. I'm a 26-year-old female, and I don't have a relationship with either of my parents due to them being absent from my life and me having bounced around my childhood slash teen life. I've been on my own since 18. I've dated some terrible men and only been in toxic slash narcissistic relationships until now. I've been dating my best friend for almost 3 years. Though we've talked on and off since we were in ninth grade, he is also 26, we have always been each other's person, if you will, and have always had a special understanding of each other. He is the first person who has shown me what unconditional love looks like and given me a safe place to fall apart. He supports me and cheers me on no matter what it is. He makes me believe I am good enough, etc. Okay, so on to the problem. My boyfriend has an ex-girlfriend. They dated before we did for almost a year. He lives with his parents now and lived with them then as well. His ex, let's call her Nancy, moved in with him and his family. She became very close with them all, and her dog moved in as well. When they parted, she moved out, but the dog stayed. Keep in mind, they have no kids together or anything. They met, dated, and ended things. He wanted to end things sooner, but she begged him not to and threatened to harm herself if he did. This made him feel so, so bad, as he had lost his best friend from an overdose while they were dating and his other friend passed from cancer. Fast forward to now. I'm at his house very often, and his family has welcomed me with open arms and quickly made me feel like I'm one of their own. I have never, ever felt like I belong somewhere until I found them. I truly believe this was all supposed to happen. But now, his ex always reaches out to him and pours her love out to him. She manipulates and tries to stay in his life. She works with his mom, comes to see her dog often, and his mom literally gifts her gifts and visits her. My boyfriend tells me when she's coming over and he will leave out of respect for me, but also because he feels uncomfortable. He tried telling his mom once that she can pick her dog up to take it on a ride, etc., or not come at all. She came less and less, but now is back to very frequently. This is making me take a step back from having a close relationship with his family. It makes me feel sick to my stomach. I have trust issues and I'm very careful who I let in my life. And as an adult, I cannot fathom how it's so hard to make any boundaries. What can I do? Am I doing everything I can do? My boyfriend says his ex wants to get to me and to not let her. But I am human and she's driving me crazy. I know he loves me and doesn't want to be with her. The problem is with his family. The more I feel like it's weird with them, the more I pull away. I don't want my boyfriend to think I can't get along with his family. Ideal outcome, for her to come take her dog out for visits or give her dog to them and accept that. And his family to know how incredibly weird this is. I just want a healthy, honest relationship that will last and result in long-term, successful, and happy love.
I mean, I certainly see where she is trying to manipulate the situation by keep putting herself in front of everybody.
Yeah.
The fact that if he wanted to be with her, he would be with her. So obviously he wants to be with you. So your security level on your position with him, don't let that get in the way. Don't let it trigger you. Stay, just try to just turn a deaf ear to the whole thing. It would be great if you and him could actually get your own place and just move out. And that way, if she wants to go visit his parents, she can go live there far as we're concerned. And they'll have to deal with the fact of getting rid of her. I mean, that becomes their problem.
Yeah.
You know, she is certainly trying to cause trouble. I mean, I certainly have girlfriends that I've had that I'm friends with. They don't get in the way at all in my relationships. In fact, if they want to be friends with both of us, they can. And when if it's really one way, and if they made suggestions for the relationship in disrespect of who I was with, then yeah, I would have a problem with it. It would be nice that he would say, you know, something, you know, if he went to Nancy, I think that's her name, we're going to call her Nancy. Mm-hmm. He said, you know, Nancy, this is a little overboard. If it is overboard, you know, you have to ask him, I mean, do you really want her around us the rest of our life, day and night? But in a way that it's not, it's his choice to say, you know, yeah, it doesn't bother me. She's fine. She just, you know, we are friends. And, or if you see something that's different, you can even say, you know something, I'm just really want to, you know, bring this out now. Are you sure that you're happy with the situation that we have, or do you want to be with Nancy? And we should make changes.
I don't think our writer needs to do that at all. Like, he wants to be with her. There's no need to have that conversation. The problem is not with the boyfriend. It's with the family. The reality is, you cannot control his family. Mm-mm. He cannot control his family. Is this inappropriate? I don't know. It depends. Some people remain friends with their ex's family, and it just depends on the situation, mm-hmm. and it's a very to each their own. However, like, don't let her drive a wedge. He leaves when she comes over. That's great. You know, maybe he can move out, and when he moves out, she'll stop. It's very intentful. And so don't let her drive a wedge between you and his mm-hmm. family. Go over there, be yourself, get to know them more and more, let them love you. And when she comes over there, you leave. Well, maybe, and you just...
I'm sorry. I keep thinking maybe she feels that the family is, you know, her family too, because they were close and they got that way. And
yeah.
And she wants to be close to that family, and
she could be kind of in the same boat where she's doesn't
have anybody.
Exactly. Like, this is the first time she's felt like she has a place too. And so when you break up with someone, you know, it is hard to say goodbye to their family and that peace that you had where it mm-hmm. felt like home and everything. Like, she lived there. She got really close with them. So, you know, it's one of those things where you have to be secure in yourself and your relationship and do your best to avoid her.
I agree. Leave. With that.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, your boyfriend leaves and maybe he can move out, but don't let her win.
Or maybe you can become as close. Maybe you guys can become great friends too. I don't know.
Maybe. There's always that possibility, but I wouldn't sweat this. Like, it's so, so, so annoying. I get it. But if you start pulling away, it gives her what she wants.
And then it goes, and then your relationship will start dissipating.
Yeah. And it's not, I think, you know, the relationship with the family will, but, you know, your boyfriend gets it. So I think one thing he could do is like really sit down with his mom and dad one more time and say, hey, like, this is kind of straining things. Like, it's really uncomfortable for me for her to come over. If this is about the dog, maybe it's time to give the dog back to Nancy. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe she's in a place now she can care for her dog again, or she just needs to, you know, say, this isn't my dog anymore. And, you know, but that's like a conversation he needs to have with his parents and really outline and say, I'm uncomfortable. Please don't keep having her over. Like, if you want a relationship with her, go out to coffee, go grab dinner, but it's just not.
But it's their house
too. It's not kosher. Well, and that's the other thing. Mm-hmm. It is their house, and they can do what they want in their house. So again, it would be great if he could, you know, move out eventually.
Yeah, and I would really try to see if you guys could really, if her intentions are just to be around the family because she feels like part of the family, but she knows her relationship is over and she's accepted that, then maybe you guys can all get close. And
well, you know, when you say that, I just thought back. She's been pouring her love out to the boyfriend. So it's clear she's doing this for a reason. And that, again, in mind and in the forefront for us, don't let her win. don't let her get her way. Like, be confident, enjoy life, love your boyfriend, keep hanging out with his family. Mm-hmm. And one thing that you could do to maybe feel more comfortable is, like, don't get, like, overly sherry with them. Like, don't overindulge in your personal life and things like that. You know, if you feel like that maybe adds a layer of protection until Nancy is gone, do that. But I do think the longer you stay with your boyfriend and the more content and happy you guys get, she'll give up and go about her merry way, especially once she gets a new boyfriend. She's not going to keep hanging out with her ex's family.
I do have one other thought or question. If she is pouring her love to him, doesn't he have an option there to say, you know something, this is just inappropriate?
Block her. You can block her.
You know, have a talk with her.
This is not appropriate anymore. Mm-hmm. I'd really, really, really appreciate if you respected my relationship and my boundaries. If you keep sending me these things, I'm going to block you.
Mm-hmm.
Done.
I think that's really where it is. It's up to him with his relationship with her to make sure that she is defined that their relationship is over and he's in a new committed relationship.
Yeah.
She could do whatever she wants with his family, but it has no bearing on him. And if they're friends, they're friends, but don't cross the boundary. I think that's really where it is.
Moving along.
Another one of this week's partners is Hungry Root.
If you're like us, you could be having a hard time eating healthy, stressed, a lot going on at home or busy with work, traveling. It can be really hard to eat right, even when you are home and trying to get in a routine, which is where Hungry Root comes in.
Hungry Root sends you fresh, high-quality groceries, simple recipes, and essential supplements. It's like your personal assistant for healthy living.
It's super easy to get started. You just take this short quiz and Hungry Root really gets an idea of what you like, what your diet is, what your goals are, and it is fully customizable. So you don't even have to take their suggestions. You can go in like you're shopping and pick what you want.
Everything from Hungry Root follows a simple standard. It's got to taste good, be quick to make, and contain whole trusted ingredients.
If you're ready to try it for yourself, right now, Hungry Root is offering Father Knows Something listeners 40% off your first delivery and free veggies for life. Just go to hungryroot.com/FKS to get 40% off your first delivery and get your free veggies.
That's hungryroot.com/FKS. Don't forget to use our link so they know we sent you.
Thank you.
This is number 4.
Hello, Jerry, Morgan, and Justin. I need some advice and I'm scared to talk to my parents about this. When I told the father of my child I was pregnant, he told me we had other options and I should look into abortions or adoption. We broke up for 3 weeks when I found out and are still broken up. Our relationship was toxic on both ends. He hasn't told his family. And when I asked him why, his reply was, "Why would I tell them and make my family mad and disown me when you could miscarry and they'll never have to know?" I asked him on a couple of occasions to come to appointments for the baby. He always conveniently has to go to work. I scheduled them on Mondays because he didn't work Mondays until recently when he got a new job. I own my own house and I've asked him to move down here to help raise the baby. He said no, he's not doing that, and that I could sell my house and move closer to him. I'm in line for a big position at my job where I'll be making a good chunk of change, and I can't pick up and move. When I told him this, he said, "Well, I just got a new job, so I'm not leaving now either." He lives at home and up until a week ago worked for his dad. I try to get him to help me pick things out for the baby, and he says, "Let's not talk about this now." When I ask him if he wants to be a part of the baby's life, he says, "Well, it's my kid. I'm obligated to take care of it," which makes it sound like he doesn't want to, but feels he has to. Now, I live in a state where if you leave the father's name off the birth certificate, he has no rights and can't fight for custody. This also terminates any chance of child support. At this point, I'm okay with taking the loss. I watched my sister have to fight for custody for my niece with a dad who doesn't want her, but doesn't want to pay child support. And now they have to share custody. And I don't want that for my child. What should I do?
Well, the one thing that he really did say from the beginning is we have options, which means he can option out and you can option in. And you can option him right out of your life. Because obviously, if you're going to have a life with somebody that loves you and you have a child together, you would obviously want this person to want to love your child or, you know, together. And if he's not that guy, then and you can, and in your state, you can actually really do that. You made the decision. You aborted him, not the child.
That's one way to put it. It's funny because I put this theme together probably 4 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And so when I made the comment earlier about leaving my bio dad's name off my birth certificate, and I wish my mom would have done that, it's literally this scenario to a T.
And she can do it.
And I would. I wouldn't put his name on there at all.
And
he very clearly doesn't want to be a dad. Mm-mm. He doesn't want to have a child. And you saying, come move down and help with the baby. He doesn't want to do that. Come be a part of the baby's life. Help me pick stuff for the baby. He doesn't want to do that. Come to an appointment with me. He doesn't want anything to do with that child. He is making it abundantly clear to you by his actions. Mm-hmm. He's done. He said, have an abortion or consider adoption. Like, he don't keep pulling teeth. He doesn't want anything to do with this. And that's fucked up and sad. Mm-hmm. He's a piece of shit.
He is.
But now you have options. You have, you know, decisions you can make to move forward, and you're going to be, you know, a single mom initially, but you got this.
What was the best thing that ever happened in my life?
Me.
That's right.
Yeah.
So with that being said, if he doesn't have a clue to it, he needs to be gone.
Yeah.
And if he wakes up one day and something happens and changes and he comes in with everything that would come into being from being a father, then hey, that's something you guys can pick up or discuss in another day. But right
now, he's got to work for it though at that point.
He's not showing any signs that he is your lover, your partner, none of the above. All you guys did is had sex.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's more. That's a fun part of a relationship for cheap and superficial, but not for anything with depth. If he says, go get an abortion. He didn't even say, should we discuss it? Can we, you know, what are our, let's do this together, whatever. And I'm good either way. What do we want to do together at this point in time? Mm-hmm. He did none of the above.
Yeah.
So, you were so right, Morgan. He has literally keeps pounding the same answer. I'm out.
It's sick. Like,
so let him go out the door and lock the door.
Oh my God. This is like a blessing in disguise, not being with this asshole. Mm-hmm. Truly. Like, people really struggle to have kids right now. Like, I feel like fertility struggles is such a topic. And so, you know, if you choose to keep this child, that is a good thing for you. You know, you do have choices. OP shares they're 9 weeks pregnant. Mm-hmm. They were together for a year before this happened, mm-hmm. which is crazy to be with someone for a year and then all of a sudden, you're pregnant. Fuck you. I'm done. Bye. Fucking weirdo. But, you know, it's one of those things, like, not everyone can realize how great a kid could be. Mm-hmm. He's 24. Our writer is 23. They're young, but you are going to be better off. So definitely leave his name off. Definitely leave his name off. It's not worth it. It's really not worth it. Like, I think kind of like what that other writer said, like having a dad who's somewhat there was worse than having a dad that's not there.
Yeah. And by the sound of what he has for a job, and which he doesn't make really any money living with his parents.
Yeah, we're assuming, but yeah.
We are assuming.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, it's true that, you know, the money that they might contribute later, if they're making some money, that helps with a child. But if you're able to support it and you guys are able to figure that one out on your own, then make them gone. Simple.
Well, and the reality is you could leave his name off and still have a conversation and say, hey, I get you don't want to be involved. That's fine. But I'm still going to need financial support. Like, you are contributing a certain number every month. You can go at him with that. And then if he says no, he says no, and whatever, you're, you know, again, dodging the bullet, but you can still go after that.
Yeah, these are things that are out of my boundary.
Not legally. I'm saying like you just have a conversation. In his head, it might be better like, oh, well, I don't have to have custody. I'm down to pay some child support to, again, this is sad, but some people would rather pay child support than be a father. And that's just the reality.
You know, it sounds like the number would be so low, it's not even worth it.
Honestly, like it's crazy. I just saw a TikTok about child support and this guy, the judge ordered him to pay $400 a month, which
$4,800 a year.
That covers what for a child? Nothing. Nothing.
God.
And he was like, well, I don't want to pay that. So I want 50-50 custody now too. And the judge is like, no, we're not. No. Like you also get to a point where your kid isn't going to be as healthy and happy going over to that parent's house. Because let me tell you.
You went through this.
If I would have had to go to my dad's house 50% of the time, I would not be who I am today. I think this will be better for your kid.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You talk from experience.
I've been through it, baby.
Okay, so now we're moving on.
Yeah.
Make sure you make your comments. We're moving on number five.
Number five.
Five.
Hello, Jerry, Morgan, Justin, and Holly. Longtime listener here. I'm seeking advice on a problem that has torn my closest and best group of friends up. I, single, female, 25, have had the same group of best friends since freshman year of high school, about 11 years. The group is composed of six main people, and we have stayed connected despite some members moving to different continents, states, joining the military, etc. I deeply treasure this group. One of the group members, Joe, male 25, and I dated sophomore year of high school. I was his first love, but we weren't compatible and the relationship turned toxic, so I broke up with him after six-ish months. It took some work and time apart, but our friend group stayed intact. Throughout the years, we had remained best friends only, besides one blacked out hookup New Year's Eve 6 years ago. We talked about it, confirmed it was a bad decision, with no romantic feelings, and moved on. There has been no other actions or instances since. Throughout the years, myself and Joe have both had significant others and have never had any issues when we hang out all together in the group, and we are both truly happy for each other. About a year ago, we were all finally back together, living in our hometown. When we first decided to get the group back together, Joe let us know that he would be bringing his new girlfriend, Faith, female 25, as well. Some of the members of the group have met her. I had not. To say the night didn't go well would be an understatement. I tried to introduce myself to her, and she wouldn't even acknowledge me. She spent the evening avoiding me and ignoring any attempts I made at including her in the conversation. She didn't reciprocate the effort to get to know me or even speak to me. This continued a couple more times. I grew a little frustrated and reached out to Joe to see if I had done anything to offend her. He said, quote, I hadn't. She just doesn't like that we are exes. I decided that she was entitled to this opinion, and I would just try and kill her with kindness, and hopefully she would eventually see I have no romantic feelings for Joe, and haven't for about 8.5 years. That brings us to today. I know there are two sides to every story, but to my knowledge, there have been no instances that I have done anything wrong or crossed any boundaries. I have checked with the rest of the group to see if there was some way I crossed a line. All said no. Faith has now decided that they, Joe and herself, will not be at any event that I am at. This has caused a huge rift because the rest of the group feels like they now have to pick between inviting me or Joe. I am extremely frustrated. Not only have I lost a best friend, Joe, but now my friends have to choose between us. My question is, should I text Faith and see what's going on, or at least try to understand if there's anything I can do to rectify this? Or is this just part of growing up? The rest of the group is split on this idea, as some who know her better have described her as defensive and controlling, and they think me reaching out might just make it worse. Others think if she was open to getting to know me and understanding of Joe and my dynamic, she'd understand she has nothing to worry about. Any advice would be appreciated. Thank you.
I really do think that, you know, you take the more mature level and just say, and write her, call her, I think if you write her, it's the better thing because she can't shut you down. She has to read it and she'll read it. And just really say, look, it's sad that friendships that have gone on for all these years, that since you've entered and your insecurity are causing, you know, this dynamic to change. You have nothing to worry about. Joe and I have been friends for 8 years and we have been non-romantic for this period of time. If we were going to work, we would have worked, but we are friends.
You definitely can't call her insecure though.
Okay.
She will because go into defensive mode and then have an even bigger attack on our writer.
I'll go with you on that one. But you definitely have to, you know, disarm her by saying, it would be wonderful that we could all be friends. We've all been friends for years and you're entering the relationship is causing friction between our relationship as friends. There is nothing that you need to worry about with me and Joe. Joe and I have been lifelong friends, but we are not lifelong partners. And that's just not where we're going.
Yeah, I think I would definitely reach out. I think less is more. Mm-hmm. I honestly would say, hey, you know, I'd love to go out to coffee, just the two of us. I get, you know, you have some issues. Let's talk. There's nothing going on between me and Joe. There never will. You know, we're just a really close group of friends. To be able to be friends with someone for 11 years is really an amazing thing. You know, I'd love to really get to know you better. She's maybe going to respond. Probably not. Honestly, probably not. But I think I have a bigger issue with how the group is handling things. Because yes, this girl is controlling. She's insecure. Mm-hmm. We already know that. You know, sometimes when you read a story, you can kind of get a vibe like, there's maybe more going on here. Maybe our writer sat on his lap one time or something. But I really do feel like you're being super upfront and like, as you write it is how it's gone down. So I think she's just a deeply jealous, insecure person. I think what you should say to the group and all of your other friends, you know, I'm being mature about this. I would never have an issue with Joe bringing a new partner. There's nothing going on between us. Why can't we all just be the mature 25-year-olds, 26-year-olds that we are? Invite everyone. Mm-hmm. If Joe chooses not to come because of his girlfriend controlling him, mm-hmm. that's on Joe. But I shouldn't be penalized something.
That. I like that plan.
Like, the group needs to handle this maturely mm-hmm. and say, hey, we are a group of friends. Everyone is invited. We're not going to choose sides. We're not going to ostracize anyone. But Joe, if you're going to let your new partner dictate what you do with your life, that's your decision, dude. Mm-hmm.
And how long do you think that's going to last?
It's not. I mean, if it were me, I wouldn't deal with being cut off from my friends.
No.
That's cuckoo town.
Right. So I think I think you had the best advice right there.
Thank you.
I'm right with you on it.
It just sucks because I understand, like, maybe she's gone through something in the past where, oh, don't worry about her. She's just a friend. Sure enough, they hook up. So maybe she's got a chip on her shoulder, right? But it sounds like you've done all you can to try to get to know her and make things smooth. And it probably just isn't going to work with her. Mm-hmm. It's just the reality. So you can send one more message. Hey, I just wanted to reach out. I'd love to grab coffee or drinks, just the two of us. What are your thoughts? Mm-hmm. Keep it casual. Don't even go into it. You're splitting up the friend group. Like, I'm thinking about it. I'm like, no, literally, see if you can even get her in a room and just hang out, the two of you. And then when you're together, I just want to, you know, make sure you're comfortable with, you know, hanging out as a group. And I just want you to know, like, nothing would ever happen between me and Joe. Then you could say that and have that conversation. But see if you can just spend time with her, if she'll even talk to you. because she hasn't even. So
I think that you've got it.
It's tough.
I agree with Morgan 100% on this one, guys. I hope that you do too. Make your comments.
Just play this for your friend groups. Friends. Mm-hmm. Everyone gets invited. Whoever shows up, that's on them.
But I would certainly tell the group, I'm in. And we just don't cast people aside. If he wants to be manipulated by her, that's on him.
I mean, when you have people that do know her, describe her as defensive and controlling, it's not good. And then the others are like, if she was open to getting to know me and understanding the dynamic, she'd understand and have nothing to worry about. You know, group, you know how she's going to get to know you? Coming to the fucking group hangouts. She doesn't want to do that. She's a closed-minded, insecure person. But that's no reason to punish you, to ostracize you. Everyone gets invited. If you show, if you don't show, it's your choice. Bottom line.
I'm with you.
Okay.
Well, that's the five. That's our five episodes.
No.
What?
I got one more for us.
Really? They get six?
They get six.
Oh.
You try to shut us down early.
Oh, shame on me.
Okay.
Number six.
Hi, Jerry, Morgan, and others. Longtime listener. First time writer. I'm asking for help in my relationship. I'm 19 female, and my boyfriend of 3 years is 20 male. I've had an amazing relationship with him so far. And love him dearly. But I've recently started college and have realized I've been crushing on some guys. I'm starting to wonder if I want to explore different relationships a little bit more. The problem is my boyfriend wouldn't be on board with this, and I'm worried I may grow to resent him. I really do love him and see him as my soulmate, but I just want to date and explore a little right now. Do you have any advice on what I should do/say to him? He won't want to hear this, and it could possibly become a relationship-ending issue. Ideal outcome, to remain friends/partners with my current boyfriend as I go out and explore relationships. Other info, I'm also nervous about the dating pool I'd be entering, as I know from my friends it's really bad for young women these days, especially for alternative women, which I am.
Alternative woman?
I would assume maybe that's just like a style. Like maybe she's more like, when I think alternative woman, I think like rocker style, kind of like punk.
Okay.
But I don't know what.
You're 19 years old. You've been with the guy since you're 16. You haven't experienced other relationships, other people, other type of relationships. Mm-hmm. And what they feel tastes like. Use that as a metaphor. It's, you know, we all go through the grass is greener. And if you don't experience this and you stifle it, it could cause you problems later. So it's not really going to him and saying, hey, are you down for this? You know, do you want to have an open relationship? Which you may want to do. I mean, I don't know what people will accept, you know, and what kind of, where you guys are. I do know one thing, that if you don't take that time to go invest in other relationships, you really don't know what you really have fully. Some relationships are great, and a lot of the relationships you may find are going to be totally horseshit, and there's a lot of garbage out there. And you did find someone that was very special that you've been able to grow with, but you don't appreciate it yet. That's why you're looking. So maybe you guys just need to take a time out and say, look, you know, we've been together for 3 years. It's through our formative, you know, formidable development years. And not that I don't love you, but I'm curious. And I would be lying to you by not telling you I'm curious. So why don't we, you know, take some time and let's just see what happens. And if we end up back together, we end up back together. And if we don't, maybe it was the best thing. But I know that I'm going to always be wondering, and I don't want to go through my life wondering. Mm-hmm. I want to answer that. And that's actually a mature way of going to approach something, by calling it out, being honest about it, and saying, hey, let's, you know, give this dignity. If you care about somebody, then let them have their freedom. Let them go. And then you see what it really is out there.
Yeah, I wouldn't let the fear of being alone keep you with the wrong person either. Mm-hmm. Like saying like, oh, I know the dating, you know, pool is tough. I feel like dating's tough for everyone, no matter who you are, whether mm-hmm. you're alternative or not. So I feel like that's no reason to like keep you in the wrong relationship. And I use the word wrong. Maybe that's not right, but there's definitely something lacking. Mm-hmm. Because I don't think you would say, oh, he's, you know, my soulmate, but I'm really curious. I want to explore. Something is clearly missing. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe that's intimacy. Maybe it's, you know, the connection of the minds. Maybe you're just growing apart. But I don't think you would really want to seek out other people in relationships if your soulmate gave you everything you needed to when feel
you,
fulfilled.
When you are in love and you are locked, no one can penetrate that. You're not locked anymore. And you, the fact that you are looking and you're questioning is the sign that that lockbox has got a fracture in it. And you got to give this thing the dignity it deserves and just part right now.
Mm-hmm. It's time.
It really is. And
it's a tough choice.
I mean,
but
look, we all make these choices, but when you finally make it, it really, you know, you say to yourself, I did make the right decision.
Yeah. Or if you think truly he is your soulmate, he's your person and you want to make it work, then you really need to do some introspective work. Maybe start, you know, getting back to your basics of why you fell in love with him. And maybe it's spending more quality time together. You know, mm-hmm. what has changed in your relationship that you're not feeling so attached and connected and locked in?
And that you're looking.
And that you're looking. So, you know, you have choices, but it just depends on what you want to do.
Now that is our show.
That's it. We're headed to Patreon.
So that's it for our show for this week. We will see you next week. Please join us. I hope that the people that like to listen to While You're Clean, I hope your house is all done.
Yeah. Or that, driving, safe driving.
I
no
hope
road
you got
rage.
There. All the stuff.
Workout's
that
going good.
Yes.
All the above.
All the stuff you guys do, we are yakking away.
Yeah.
So, if you are not complete with your things that you're doing, come jump on to Patreon. We have another couple reads for you there.
Yeah.
And also don't forget, hit the subscribe button, give us a thumbs up, make your comments, make sure you watch the whole videos, and most importantly, write in once in a while and come join us on our group tees. We love our group tees.
Group tees are so fun.
They are. And I really, really have fun when I get to meet you guys and talk to you.
Yeah.
So if you are out there and you're in one of the places or you're able to go to one of our shows.
Got a few left. We're over halfway done with the tour. So
we're heading now to Nashville. Mm-hmm. Then we're going to be in Denver.
Denver and then Las Vegas and then Arizona.
And then we take off and we go to Minneapolis.
Minneapolis, Milwaukee, Chicago, mm-hmm. Boston, Philly, New York.
So we're out there. So if you see that you're somewhere in those vicinities, come join us for one of the shows.
Yeah.
We have a lot of fun.
Until next time.
Good night.
Bye.